And I speak to you in God's holy name, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We have, over the summer, looked at the 8 guideposts of what it means to be a progressive Christian. And now, from today to the end of this church year, which is in November, we're going to be looking at the application of what it means to be an alive, progressive Christian living in our own age and time. We always have to remember that history inspires us and guides us and gives us some thought, but we have to live now and minister now, and all of us are called to be ministers. We're all equal, each and every one of us here. We have different functions and responsibilities, but we're all people who build compassion and have a compassionate relationship with ourselves and our immediate community, which is often our family, but the family beyond us, our neighbors, and the world as a whole. So we are all ministering in the midst of life. That's what Jesus calls us to do, and that's what we're about in our own baptisms. Part of this is that we must minister to the world, which often gets caught up in itself. The tax collectors that Jesus spoke to, Jesus spent time with them. The tax collectors of our own age, I guess, are the politicians. And we're in the middle of an election. It's okay to spend some time and go to the all candidates meeting. It's okay when they come to your door asking for your vote, to engage them. It's okay to have an opinion and to challenge. I don't care what party. I treat them all abominably. and put them to the test. And it's for that reason that I've put into the bulletin last Sunday and today some questions. There's a lot of people that seek our vote that really want to do it based on emotion. And I think we have to really say, if you want my support, I want it based on some facts. I want it based on some evidence. I want it based in reality. And there's some science-based questions that I've included in the bulletin last Sunday and today that feel free to keep that bulletin handy. When they come to the door, say, okay, I want to know what you think about this, that, or the other thing. Because it's important. And to ask them questions based in science, it'll shock them. There was a little group called Vote Science. And I let them know that I was doing this. And I asked them if they had any decals or anything. And they phoned me. And they said, you're one of the few in the country that's doing anything. We're going to send you some buttons. And so the buttons will be coming. And if you want to wear a button that says Vote Science, feel free. Because we have to be a world that's based in evidence. Climate change is not a myth. Climate change is real. And that takes me to thinking about the Old Testament reading for today. Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah was angry. And Jeremiah was pessimistic. And if you read the gospel for yourselves, I guess that's outside. I thought it was a microphone. If you read the prophet Jeremiah today, you'll see him being very, very pessimistic. He's hopeless. He's angry. He's very sad. And when you read it, it's almost like thinking about today when we think about the climate. My wife is a climate artist, but she's involved with climate scientists. And everything is about the Anthropocene. And the Anthropocene is the extinguishment of human life on the planet because of climate change. They've been able to track back 400 years since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution and be able to demonstrate scientifically how much climate change is going on because of man-made, human-made incursion into the climate because we're using so much methane and so much carbon dioxide and it's warming the planet. And there's substantial projections of what's going to happen and how we must change now if we want to have a life ahead for generations that come after us. And so we can get very pessimistic. I worked recently with some teenagers, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, who are saying we don't want to have children because we don't want to bring them into this. But I think as Christians, we also can be hopeful. And this is the message I brought to them, and I share with us here today. God is not yet finished with us yet. And in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 27, "For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end." And I believe that promise that Jeremiah received about 4,000 years ago is still a valid one for us today. But it should animate us not to give up, not to just go somewhere and say, well, the world's going to come to an end, I'll eat all the chocolate I can and get drunk. We really instead have to be engaged and be involved and work for the solution and join in coalitions with other people making a difference and making a solution. So I invite you to engage your neighbors, to engage the politicians, to be hopeful because God isn't finished yet. The creation is still happening. But we must apply our own progressive sense of who we are as Christians and engage our neighbors. Engage ourselves in looking how we treat the environment ourselves. But it's an all-out press. As I mentioned once here in Agassiz about 3 years ago at a Remembrance Day service, we had the enemy. And I remember people weren't happy with me, but I mentioned that we had celebrated the fact of how our parents mainly got together and worked with others and defeated Nazism and saved freedom and saved the world as we knew it. And that enemy was pretty obvious. But the new enemy is the climate. And we need that same robust engagement and coalition and working together to solve the issues in the planet today. So put those tax collectors' feet to the fire when they come asking for your vote. Ask them about their climate plan. If it doesn't seem robust enough, keep pushing them. Vote for whoever you want, but really ask the tough questions. I think that's part of what it means to be a progressive Christian. And I move on to the gospel for the end of today. We are always, God's love is there looking for the outcast. God's love is always there looking for the person who seems to have turned their back to God. And it's up to us to be doing that same thing. We may have people in our circle of friends who seem to have their values distorted. It's okay to talk with them, to not shun them. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be challenging to reach out to them because maybe they're going to say and do things that we find like hearing chalk fingernails on a chalkboard. But we need to engage everyone. Jesus engaged the outcast, and we also are called to engage the outcast. So if you find a climate change denier, it's going to be very easy to walk away and say, well, you're just full of it, and ignore them. But I believe as progressive Christians, we have to sit down and listen to why they are in denial and ask those kind of questions. Why do you find this so difficult? I'd like to know more about the foundation of your reasoning. So have a conversation that engages. That's part of our responsibility as Christians, is to engage the outcast, to engage the stranger, to engage the one that is contrary to where we are. And as progressive Christians, rather than just shutting the door and saying you know nothing and walking away, to engage them in a nonviolent communication, working for change. The other thing is, as you go into those kind of conversations, remember you're not alone. Call on the Holy Spirit. I know that when I go into those conversations, I always have what I call my arrow prayer. You know, like Cupid sending off that little arrow. I send off this arrow out to God and saying, inspire me to speak your words, not my words. And so that we engage with them, but see it as not just ourselves, but that we have a ministry of engagement and that we are energized by the Holy Spirit. And so today, as we gird our loins and move forward as active Christians, I pray that as we receive the sacrament, the sign of God's love poured out for us and given to us, that it may energize us and give us the courage and the vision to be Christians alive, living now. May God bless us all. Amen.